Hear the word of God, as you will find it in Psalm 138. So Psalm 138 is our text this morning. It's a psalm of David. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give thanks to you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how important those psalms in the life of us members of the Catholic Church of Christ, of that universal New Testament church. The content is as important to us as it was to the brothers and sisters, the members of the Catholic Church of Christ in the Old Testament. How happy they must have been to have those so-called Psalms of David. How comforting those words which he had to write, inspired as he was by God the Holy Spirit. They must have really sung them with their whole heart, yet to their heart's content, which then also included our psalm, Psalm 138. Now, beloved, all those psalms, specifically those scriptural psalms, they really tie us, bind us together with them. And with all the generations of believers ever since, you think of it, they read the same words as we do from 1000 BC, before Christ, on in, more than 3,000 years ago. Be it that they did it, first of all, in the Hebrew, in the original language. They sang those so-called psalms or hymns or spiritual songs just as we do. And as the early Christian church did from the very beginning, as we learned, for example, from Ephesians and Colossians, where we are told that we are to address one another with those psalms, those hymns, those spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Yes, with them, Allah, Psalm 138, to give thanks to the Lord with your whole heart. Indeed, we do so with those psalms because they are so very much part of the Bible, of the Word of God. And to make their content even more our own, we have since the great and necessary reformation of the Catholic Church a rhymed version of those psalms. And on top of it all, happy us, not to say lucky us, they were sung with melodies that brought out, specifically drew attention to the content of those psalms, as it was done since the 16th century with those so-called Genevan tunes, which in turn then also ties us and binds us together with the generations before us, our ancestors, our brothers and sisters, who began singing them some 5 centuries ago. And I do not consider it far-fetched, When I add that they are still singing those very same psalms with those special fitting tunes right up there in heaven. Now, beloved, let us continue to treasure them as we have them in our book of praise, those rhymed versions of all 150 of them, with thanks to our immediate forefathers, those who came after the Second World War as immigrants, were now put together in the English language and accompanied by those telling tunes, or to state it more succinct, without the loss of those fitting melodies. They are now complete, now nearly linguistically perfect, thanks to our own English language expert, our brother Dr. William Helder, whose dedicated work allows them now to be sung for many, many decades to come. Psalms, then, form an integral part of our life because they are covenantal from beginning to end. With them, we bring to expression in a scriptural, in a God-given way, the fellowship we have with the Lord Yahweh, the I Am who I am, the one who is always present with respect to his adopted people, who is there from day to day with his provident care and keeping from generation to generation. Now we take them to heart, we take them on our lips, and we really sing them because they speak of us, of our joy and sorrow, of our failings and victories, of our sins and salvation, of our doubts and of our confidence. The 38th Psalm, beloved, is a song of thanksgiving, a song which speaks of the confidence we have in our God. The Lord, the psalmist cries out, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me, as it is in our ESV, or the Lord will perfect that which concerns me, as it is in the New King James Version. So this morning, we want to pay attention to this song of praise to God in order that we the more give thanks to the Lord with our whole heart and do so with a view to the church, with a view to the world, and with a view to the future. Give thanks to the Lord with your whole heart and do so with a view to the church, with a view to the world, and with a view to the future. Psalm 138 is one of the many psalms composed by David, the poetical shepherd, who sang these hymns before King Saul to drive away the evil spirit that Saul, in his disobedience, had allowed to capture him. And even today, we can say, psalms during the day keeps the devil away. For one thing is sure, he hates psalm-singing people. No, he rather sees us occupied with worldly songs, with pop, with rock and roll songs. That's more in his line, more according to his style. Just imagine having to listen to songs dedicated to the praise of God, of making melody with a view to him. No thanks, that's not for him, and not for those in league with him. He'll keep his distance from such pious behavior, that's for sure. Something that we, both an old and young, should always remember. Again, psalms during the day keeps the devil away. Now, as we said, Psalm 138 is a song of thanksgiving. It begins with, I give you thanks, O Lord. Well, beloved, that's already quite something that a man wants to thank the Lord. For how little are we inclined to do so by nature? And if we do sing psalms, those hymns, those spiritual songs, then we may do it only because of the melody, or to have people or ourselves hear our voice, and not because we lift our hearts on high to our Lord in heaven. How few the moments that we really feel motivated to sing a psalm, a song of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. Without a doubt, that's something we have to learn. We have to learn to concentrate on him as he has revealed himself in his word, in his holy word. We have to learn to sing our songs, our psalms, properly, conscientiously, yeah, consciously. Learn to dedicate them to the Lord and to him alone. And in that way, enjoy singing them. David then dedicates the psalm of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord with his whole heart. For he is also very conscious of the fact that the Lord, to whom he speaks, is the only true God. For he continues with, "Before the gods, I sing your praise." Oh yes, the peoples around Israel, round about Israel, also have their gods. And even speak of their leaders as such. But David knows better. He knows himself to be an adherent of the one and only true religion because of that one self-revelation of the only true God to Israel. And he also knows him as the Lord Yahweh, as I said, as the I am who I am, as the God who is there, who is present, as the one who is always ready to act on behalf of his covenant people. And thus also on behalf of him, David. And that's how there is that confession in verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. Now the Lord had protected him against all enemies, against a Saul, against a Nabal, against a number of Philistine kings. And in the end, the Lord made him king over his covenant people. He did become king after all. No wonder then that David is motivated to worship the Lord, to go to the house of the Lord, to go to the temple, to praise him with a view to his great steadfast love and his constant faithfulness. So David sings his songs of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord with his whole heart. Yet to the Lord who keeps his promises. And that's what this psalm, this recorded history, is all about. It is a record of the God who keeps his promises with respect to his people. Yeah, with respect to the church of every age. And that's why we speak of this recorded history as revealed in the Bible as redemptive history. As the history of salvation, and therefore a history that very much concerns us and our children today. We are baptized members of that self-same church, this congregation of the 21st century. There is therefore also for us every reason to join in with David, with God's covenant people of that time, to express our gratitude to the same Lord and God with this psalm, this hymn of jubilation. We sing the psalms, yeah, all 150 of them, to show with them that the Spirit of God has also come into our life. To prove with singing them with our whole heart that we are spiritually alive. Now, beloved, we know, don't we, that there is every reason for us to do so. For we know David's great son, the Lord Jesus. Yeah, compared to God's covenant people of that time, we live, so to speak, in the noonday sun. We have now the complete revelation of God, yeah, unto our redemption, unto our salvation. We know of a cross. We know of a Savior who died on that cross unto the complete forgiveness of all our sins because of our original sin back in that paradise and because of our daily actual sins, the ones with which we are still all too familiar. And after that cross, we also know of that open grave, that open tomb, know of a risen Savior, of an ascended Lord, and of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The one who convinces us from day to day of the truth of God's word, as it is from cover to cover, from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. We now have that complete and infallible word of God, the very word that is officially proclaimed in church from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. And we in the process are then called to make those regular and glorious messages our own by faith. And it will then also prompt us to sing those psalms, those songs of praise and thanksgiving. We will let them ring out loud and clear amidst this world, a world that in so many ways shows that it's in the grip of a death culture. A world filled with the cacophony of songs, noisy songs, accompanied by noisy music. Altogether songs, sounds and songs which give evidence in so many ways that they are inspired by hell itself. Beloved of the Lord, let them hear it. Do acquaint them with the songs we sing, those spiritual songs, those songs inspired by heaven, those wholesome songs, the one which heals one's life from sin and misery, from darkness and doom, and which fills one's life with light and salvation. And it is clear, is it not, this song, the Psalm 138, is truly a song for the church. And therefore, sing it. Sing them all those psalms, those spiritual songs, because it is a sure means to keep the devil at bay, to keep a devilish inspired culture at bay. He who sings these God-giving songs, these songs inspired by the Holy Spirit, will prove to be really with it. He knows where life is really at, what life is really all about. The life as revealed in Holy Scripture, the life as obtained by Jesus Christ, the life as proclaimed in the temple, in the church of God. And as you can hear, this brings us to our second point. Psalm 138 is not only a song for the church, but it's also a song for the world. For the certainty of salvation of its David and we may sing, it is something the world is in dire need of. David sings, "All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth." Thus the people whom those kings represent are now also called to join in with the singing of those spiritual songs as entrusted to the people of Israel. Are now called to join in with those songs of jubilation, those songs of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord God Almighty. That's what David prophesies here, even though he didn't see a thing of it in his days. To the contrary, none of the peoples round about Israel sang the praises of the God of Israel, the only true God. Instead, they worshipped their own gods, gods of their own imagination. Indeed, for centuries, there was only one people that praised the Lord, the only true God, the creator of heaven and earth, and the God who adopted his people throughout the ages. But now David knows and he prophesies that there would come a time that all the peoples around the world would hear and receive the words of God, would hear and receive the words of salvation in and through the promised Messiah, the promised Christ. After all, hadn't the Lord said to Abraham, the father of the people of Israel, "In you all the families, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed"? And had the Lord not promised to David himself that his kingdom would cover the world and that his kingdom would turn out to be an everlasting kingdom? We read that together from 2 Samuel 7. Thus David prophesies, even though he, like so many prophets of the Old Testament, did not understand when and how this prophecy would be realized. He sings of the faithfulness of his God A God whose provident care for this his created world would not be confined to just one people. No, all the families and all the peoples of the earth shall praise him. The church shall be gathered from all nations, tribes, peoples, and languages, also here in Canada. Also here in Canada, his praises had to sound forth. Praises because of his faithfulness, because of his mercy and grace in Jesus Christ. And we, beloved, we are called to join in with that. We are called to call those outside, our fellow citizens, to join in as well. For this song of praise and thanksgiving is now no longer confined to one people, not confined to us, people of God of this 21st century. So do acquaint them then with those psalms of David, those psalms of praise, and those hymns of their fulfillment, which contain rhymed versions taken directly from definite scripture passages, as it was understood and agreed upon at the synod that established a committee in preparation for the right kind of book of praise, and which we now know we have in our possession. And beloved, let us pass on this great gift as we have it in our midst, in the midst of this Reformed Assembly of the Catholic Church of Christ. Do acquaint them with those enduring psalms, and then also with those confined number of hymns, the ones that speak scripturally of Good Friday, of Easter, Ascension, and Pentecost. Those songs of promise and fulfillment of both the Old and the New Testament. Now indeed, beloved, let them hear those psalms that all speak of the faithfulness of our God, so that we and those who will join us from the outside will also begin to sing about his deeds so mighty, sing of his great deeds in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the whole world. Do let them hear those mission songs, those songs bidding all men to repentance, since the kingdom of Christ is here, also here in Canada. Praise the Lord. Praise him for calling us, allowing us to join in with David, allowing us to join in with the people of God of this present day, to join in with the church of the ages, with this body of Christ, with the temple of the Holy Spirit. So then let us with David and with the peoples of the earth sing of the gracious ways of the Lord our God, the ways of his salvation, the ways of his glorious solution to our sinful ways. Take note, beloved, of how the whole Bible speaks of those glorious ways of the Lord, the ways to Christ's first coming, the ways to Easter, to Pentecost, and the ways to his second coming, the second coming of our ascended, of our exalted Lord and Savior. There are also the ways of the Lord with a view to his church and with a view to this world. Indeed, the ways of the Lord, beloved, cover everything that takes place in our life of every day, at home, at work, at school, as to wherever we are. They cover whatever takes place around the globe, in Ottawa and Washington, in Beijing and Moscow. For the ways of the Lord must have their way, for his chosen people are destined to reach that new Jerusalem, the city to be filled with his adopted people, children in Christ. Up to 1,001 generations of them, all gathered together from every nation, tribe, people, and language, all gathered together from east and west, from north and south, so that all of them will sing in joyful lays, laud his ways, the ways of his salvation, and so together will reach their eternal destination, will reach that promised heavenly Jerusalem. We will see the inauguration of that glorious new heaven and earth. And that brings us then to our third and last point. Give thanks to the Lord with your whole heart, also with a view to the future, a glorious future. Beloved, if you sing this psalm with a knowing mind and with your whole heart, then you are able to face the future without fear, without any trepidation, without any qualms. Yeah, no matter what you might have to face in this your life, then you can be at ease, can be at peace, and even find reason to rejoice, because at all times you will have the confidence that the Lord your God will be near you, that he will either avert all evil or turn it to your benefit. It's exactly as our brother David sings here. Though we may walk in the midst of trouble, God will be there. He will be there to preserve our very life, our life received in Jesus Christ. That is a life that will never ever die, a life everlasting. Truly, our Savior is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he will deliver us from all that may befall us here. He will cast his and our enemies into everlasting condemnation, and he will take us and all his chosen ones into heavenly joy and glory. Beloved, we are able to say so with the same confidence as our brother David did in this psalm. And he did not yet know the half of it. No doubt he was thinking of the Lord would fulfill his purpose for him as king of Israel, how he would maintain his royal house in the midst of Israel. But we know today how well the Lord has fulfilled that purpose with David and with that royal house of his. He did so most miraculously. For we know David's great son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose kingdom would not fail, whose kingdom would never end, and whose subjects, united to him by a true faith, would receive all his royal treasures and gifts. A new heart, a sound mind, a growing desire to pursue the gifts of the Spirit, the readiness to speak to one another, and those still outside of those telling psalms, those songs of praise and thanksgiving to our faithful God and Father, the one who will finish perfectly what he for us in Christ has undertaken. And that's how we join in with the Psalm of David, full of confidence that the Lord will fulfill his purpose for us, his children. He will bring us to our eternal home, the New Jerusalem, because of his steadfast love, because of his grace in Jesus Christ. He truly will gather, defend, and preserve his church. He will not abandon the works of his hands. The power of the devil, the opposition of a devilish inspired world, a present promotion of Helly's conceived lifestyle shall not prevail against her. That rock and roll lifestyle will soon disappear. And the world, the new earth, will be filled with nothing but songs of praise and thanksgiving, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to the glory of God and to the full enjoyment of those who sing them. Therefore, let us sing them now. Let us sing them now, our songs of praise and thanksgiving. For when we sing them here, we will sing them there, on the new earth, in heaven and on earth. So let us then join in before it is too late. Let us live a life in keeping with our new life, with our sanctification in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and join in and pursue the lifestyle as revealed by the Spirit, a lifestyle that is pure and wholesome, a lifestyle that speaks of that glorious life to come. Now, brothers and sisters, which very much includes you young people, boys and girls, let us do a lot of singing. Again, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs during the day will keep the devil away. He doesn't like them. He hates them with a passion. Why? Well, because they speak of a just and of a merciful and of a gracious and of a loving God. They speak of also of what is good, of what is right, of what is sound, and what is wholesome. Yes, they speak of our complete salvation in Jesus Christ. That's why. Amen.